All right, tonight we're going to talk about light versus darkness. Now, sometimes when I get asked to speak or I'm going to speak, sometimes it's a struggle, I guess, to figure out, you know, am I trying to put too much of me into this and figure out what the Lord wants me to speak about, or, you know, what really does the Lord want me to speak about? About 3 weeks ago, I was reading in Psalms and read something about light and darkness, and the Lord just kind of started opening up different thoughts about different things with dealing with light and darkness. And then I show up Sunday, and on the bulletin, it says, "Wishing you a happy new year," and then it says, "Walk in the light as he is in the light." It's just a pretty interesting coincidence, and then I get in the car to come here tonight. It's freezing cold. But there's a song on K-Love. The first line of the song is, "Light of the world, you step down into darkness." It's just, I don't know. Some people could call it coincidence. I just think it's amazing how the Lord works. If you want to turn in your Bibles to these passages, you can. There's going to be a few of them, which is why I did bring my Bible up here. But I printed out the verses on here, because you can make fun of me later if you want. But these are a little bit bigger than the print in here, and there's a lot of them, so I can have to keep flipping all over the place. But when I was young, I used to ask, my parents used to come into my bedroom every night, and the lights were on, and they would pray with me. Before they would leave, as they're walking out the door, they're getting close to that light switch, I'd always ask them the same thing: "Is my night light on?" And I'll never forget that, and they always said, "Yes, it's on." And it was. They'd turn out the light, and it was on, and eventually I fell asleep. I'd always ask them that. It kind of gave me a sense of security, you know, and it was nice to have that little bit of light in that dark room so you can, you know, make sure there's not anything in there that shouldn't be. Let's look at what the Bible says about light and darkness. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, we know that God created it. It says, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light." So it's something that God created. It didn't just happen. It wasn't a big bang or anything. God created it. I think we probably all agree on that. Number two, the light was good. The very next verse, Genesis chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "And God saw the light, and it was good. And he divided the light from the darkness." So he created the light, there was darkness, and he separated the two. As believers, we are light. We could see that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." So as believers, we are lights in this world. Light versus darkness. I'll prove this to you here shortly. But light always wins. Have you ever thought about that? It's like an epic battle. I guess back and forth all the time, but whenever you put up light against darkness, the light is always going to win. So if you would, if you could, I didn't ask in advance if I could do this, so I'm hoping it'll be all right. But if you could turn those lights off, I know we got some out in the hall, but it'll be all right. And the exit line signs, I guess, are on too. So now you can. I'm guessing. Can you all see this? Hopefully, because I just said that the light always wins. So you kind of get the effect I was getting at, where the light always wins, and it would be even more so if there wasn't already light that was out in the hallway, because it would be even darker in here, and you could really see this light. You can turn them back on if you wouldn't mind. So light versus darkness. The light is always going to win. John chapter 1. I'm going to read the first nine verses, verses 1 to 9. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it." So that wasn't something I just made up, where the light always wins. It's in the Bible, where it says the light cannot comprehend it. There's different translations might say different things. I think the NIV says the light will not understand it, or the darkness will not understand the light. So I looked it up in the commentary to kind of see what you know, different views there were on that. One was, you know, the darkness cannot understand the light. And then that relates to us as people on earth. Well, hopefully everyone in here is a believer, so we are the light. And so this is talking about the darkness. The darkness can't comprehend it. So if you're living in darkness or living in sin, if you will, you can't comprehend the light. You can't comprehend why would the light come here to die for me. And so it's something that can be hard to comprehend if you're living in darkness. Another possible, I guess, translation of what John is saying there is the darkness will not overcome the light. And so when we think about Jesus being light, the darkness will not overcome it. So just like light always wins here, like physically, this light always wins when it goes up against darkness. In the spiritual side of things, whenever there is darkness going up against light, or sin going up against Jesus and His holiness, Jesus always wins. There's never should be any doubt in that. So even if men reject the word that's in this Bible, I'd say at the end of the day, but at the end of, I don't want to say eternity, but the end of when the Lord comes back, He's going to win. There's definitely should be no doubt in that. Picking up again in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light. And here we see light has a capital L, if you're following along. That all through him might believe. He was not that light. This is talking about John. John was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. So we can see from here that, as I just said before, Jesus is the true light with a capital L. By choosing to follow Jesus, we are walking in the light. And we can see that in John 8, verse 12. It says, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I know I'm going through a lot of verses, but I only had 15 minutes, so I kind of got to keep rolling. John chapter 12, verse 46, it says, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. So Jesus came into this world to be a light to all people. And we are also to be light, as it said earlier in Matthew. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into this marvelous light. So we see that as believers, we're a chosen generation, and we are called out of that darkness, out of the sin, to be in the light. And it should be an encouragement to all of us that we know that as believers, you know, we are the light of the world, and that whenever darkness would, I guess, come upon us, light is always going to win. And that doesn't mean there might not be, you know, some darkness that surrounds it, but it only takes, I mean, this is one small candle. If you were to compare this to the size of this entire room, it still lit up a pretty good area just from that small, the small little flame. I just switched jobs, but three or four months ago, and it's a secular employment. It's not like working at Mountaintop, but it doesn't take long for people to, I guess, size up the type of person that you are. Now, when I say this, I saying to this to you as humbly as I can. I am in no way the model Christian at all. The one you should model your life after is written about in here. But it wasn't too long after I started working there. A guy came up to me that I haven't spent any amount of time with, another employee that worked there, and said, "So, somebody told me that you're a religious person." And I hadn't worked there for very long. It doesn't take long for that little light that may be shining. Maybe you don't think that it's that big of a light, but that doesn't mean anything. It just takes a small light, and it can break through the darkness, and it always wins. So how can we apply this to our lives? The world is full of darkness, and we were once in darkness, but as believers have chosen to be in the light. So if we're believers here tonight, and hopefully all of us are in this room, we've chosen to be in the light. Now that we are in the light, we are to walk as children of the light. So just being in the light, you know, may not be quite enough. Well, it is enough to get to heaven. Don't misunderstand me there. But we're to walk as children of the light. So when we're in the light, we also want to be making sure that our light is shining. I think I said this last time I was speaking on Wednesday night. It was a church sign that I saw that said, "If you say you're a Christian, don't forget to tell your face." So basically, if you're claiming to be a Christian, don't forget how other people can view your actions. And I had no idea that guy that worked with me knew anything about me. But word had already gotten around. So it's just, you know, it's a challenge to always think and watch what you're doing, what you're saying. Number three, we need to let our light shine for all to see as we are continuing steadfastly. That's the theme for this year, continuing steadfastly. So as we're doing that, we need to remember that we are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. And lastly, I'll close with this. I went to the workers' conference two years ago. I think it was in actually the same place it's going to be this year, in Believer's Bible Chapel in Augusta. And one of the morning devotions was given by Jonathan Baker. And one of the stories he told is that as he was growing up, his father, Gerald, would, every time Jonathan was getting ready to go out the door, or any of his siblings, didn't matter where he was going, his dad would always ask him the same question: "Jonathan, is your light on?" And at the time, I kind of heard it, but then I really started thinking about it. That's a good question to maybe ask ourselves every time we walk out the door. You know, if you watch sports games as they're getting ready to go out on the field or the court, they always, you know, hit the sign above the door. I don't know what they say. It could be their school's logo or whatever. But they hit the sign. Well, maybe that would be something you could kind of visually think of as you're walking out the door. Is your light on? And we know that even if we think it's a small light, it doesn't take much, but the light is always going to win against the darkness. So let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you again for this evening. We just thank you for the time that we can set aside as believers, especially in this country, not like some of the ones that were listed earlier, that we don't have to worry about necessarily somebody coming in and harming us or arresting us for having this meeting here. We can openly come and talk about you, and we thank you for that. We just ask that as we leave this building and we go to our homes and tomorrow wake up and go to school or to work, wherever it may be that we're doing, that as we're continuing steadfastly this year, we wouldn't forget that we are the light of the world, that we're a city on a hill and it can't be hidden, Lord, and that you would just encourage us and help us, give us strength in times of struggle, and just help us to always keep our light shining. It's in your name we ask all these things. Amen.